Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Welcome to Red Men News. I am Ross Chanley, joined today by you, the viewers, the listeners. We've had a few technical errors, so apologies for being late. Errol forgot his charger, which he left at work, so he's had to drop out. So I'm just going to talk to you guys. This is also brought to you in association with Beer 52, as you can see from the markings. As a Redmen viewer, listener and subscriber, for £5.95 postage and packaging, you can get 8 free beers, a magazine and a snack. All you have to do is go to www.beer52/redmen. Tom will put the link in the chat and in the description afterwards. But just to give you an idea of the sort of things you can get a Two Tribes Metroland Session IPA, which is 3.8%. I've had 2 beers in the past 12 weeks, so I'm not going to have that just yet because I'll be on my arse. You can also get a Pilsner, which is a clean, crisp lager, generously hopped with soft caramel notes. Oatmeal porter, if you like your dark pale ales. If you don't, give it, experiment. Try something. O'Hara's Irish Red, which is a traditional ale, which is 4.3%. Oh my God, I'm not having that either. Tom's eyeing them up. Or you can have a Hume Shark, which is another pale ale, so which is 7.5%. Jesus Christ. So you want to try something different. The football's back. You want to expand your taste buds. You want to support local businesses. Please do go to beer52.com/redmen and get your £5.95 postage and packaging and 8 beers, a magazine and a snack. The snack I actually got, I can't show you because I ate it. With barbecue chickpeas, which were lovely. A slightly Tory snack, but we'll move on from there. Anyway, news. Liverpool, of course, were back in action yesterday. Didn't quite go to well as planned, and neither is the news today, but here we are. So there's an update on James Milner and Joel Matip injuries. Of course, they both went off. Jurgen Klopp has provided an update on the fitness of James Milner and Joel Matip after they were both forced off. Milner was withdrawn shortly after half time, having pulled up. He said, maybe not Wednesday, 3 million, but after that, I would hope for. Joel was unlucky, and we had to make a quick decision. It was a situation with Richarlison, who bent and stretched his big toe. I don't think a lot of people had that. It's really painful, but hopefully the pain settles, and then we will see. I hope nothing serious has happened, but I don't know yet. I was going to have a quick comment on that, and then Tom's going to collect loads of yours, so I'm just going to interact with you throughout the whole thing. So if you've got any thoughts on anything, please do get them in. George Stevens is ringing me. Please don't do that right now. Does it take over? Well, it's a concern going forward. Obviously, it wasn't the best performance in Liverpool. We've done the final word show, which will be out on the main Redmen channel later on. Just concerns going forward, especially when Dejan Lovren came on. It's not an ideal situation, but putting Joe Gomez at left back, Dejan Lovren coming on, I'm just sure everyone's got their thoughts on, but I hope Joel Matip is fine. Of course, Andy Robertson might come back in for the Crystal Palace game, and hopefully Joel Matip is all right. But let me know your thoughts. Are you concerned? Do you think they'll be all right for Wednesday's game? Would you keep them in reserve? Would you put Joe Gomez in and Robertson in and get them all ready for the Manchester City game, which is in quite a while? Stephen Somerville, thank you for your comment. He says, I think if Milner would have been continued, we might have gotten more chances in that game. Gomez at left back doesn't suit him. Yeah, Gomez was kind of shoehorned into the left back position, which, equally he needs game time. Everton did target that right hand side, which again was a concern with James Milner taking up a booking pretty early on for putting Richarlison on his arse, which I think we all like to see. LFC Mav, hello mate. He said, gutted for Milner, like he knew something had gone. And it's a concern, actually, isn't it? I think we're going to see with a lot of these players putting themselves about and getting back into football, having 3 months off, as you can call it. And particularly with James Milner, I think the one word you always associate with James Milner is fitness. To see him go down with an injury was a slight concern. Continuation of injuries, got an update on Mohamed Salah and Andy Robertson, who I've just mentioned there. Speaking exclusively to LiverpoolFC.com, Klopp told us there are different reasons for the lineup. It's really special time in his time after 4 weeks pre-season. and preparation. We cannot ignore that we play again on Wednesday. Just can't. It's not the last game of the season, so we have to think a little bit about it. Some players couldn't train in the week. They trained, but not like with the team, like Mo and with Robbo. But yesterday, we were in training and they both looked really good. And that's a really important point from Klopp to make, in the sense of, you know, we've got a game on Wednesday. But, you know, if Robbo and Salah didn't train properly like the rest of the team did, why would you go and risk them? There's a game in 2 days' time. As much as we all want the league sewn up and done as early as possible, it's just not going to happen. But it might do, actually. You know, we'd all want that win against Everton. And given the performance as well, I think we were screaming out for a Robbo to go, you know, down at left-hand side to help out Sadio Mane, or equally a Salah on the other side to some sort of attacking threat. It was only really Naby Keita and Oxlade-Chamberlain that really provided anything on that. SR68720, we need two top full-backs to play the system, not Trent or Robbo, and it's stale. Yeah, I think that's the position where Liverpool are at now. We've improved so much. The levels are completely different. So, you know, who you're relying on when those are injured. I think Nico Williams has done really well. But again, it's a massive ask for him to come into a Merseyside derby after having 3 months off to chuck him into that game. It isn't right. But I think going forward, you know, you do look for improvements there. And it's also probably unfortunate in the sense of, you know, what are the chances of having an Andy Robertson and James Milner, your first and second choice left-backs, both injured at the same time? And who else are you going to convince to try and come in to play back up to Andy Robertson, who's going to be of any decent level? That's an argument for another day. Stephen Somerville again says, having Robbo and Salah on the pitch helps the balance we play in the team. I think bringing them back in with Palace would give us more clear-cut opportunities to have. Yeah, I agree with that. I think, you know, you get another element. You're not relying on a, you know, a Keita and a Mane. And equally, you know, as we said in the final word, and I'm sure Chris and Paul touched it last night in their post-match stuff of, you know, credit to Everton. They defended really well last night. You know, they got back in banks of four, very more or less defended in Stanley Park. But, you know, you're screaming out for something else at that point. And, you know, I've seen a few people say Coutinho and stuff like that. But, you know, given on what we've seen other teams and the standard of football recently, it hasn't been great. This is going to getting used to these teams coming back to find the rhythm, to find the form, to find fluidity. You know, it's the same with Liverpool. And I had to add to that, it was a Merseyside derby as well. And my take from it last night was, no one just didn't want to make a mistake in that game. Everton went up for attacking. They didn't really interested in scoring a goal until the last 10 minutes when Lovren came on and sniffed blood and thought they could get something out of the game. So, you know, it is what it is. We move on. Crystal Palace, I think you bang on. Go and take them and play Salah and Robertson in those games as well. I'm going to move on to some Koulibaly stuff here. I'm not sure if this is on the back of the performance yesterday. This is complete nonsense. I'll just put it in here for a laugh, because if Liverpool can't afford a team of earning £50 million, why people continue to report we can buy Koulibaly, who, I'm not going to argue, would suit Liverpool, but for his age, for the price that he's going to cost, I think he's just absolutely ridiculous. But the top story from ESPN is Napoli turned down Liverpool bid for Koulibaly. Liverpool are keen to partner Virgil van Dijk with Napoli's Koulibaly next season. But they kneel to improve on their £58 million bid, which has been rejected, according to Corriere dello Sport. Liverpool are one of several sides across Europe hoping to lure the Senegal international away from Naples this summer, but the first bid for the player falls well short of Napoli's valuation. This very much feels like the Werner stuff done for Liverpool. So they need Liverpool, who's a big name for a click. Koulibaly, who's a big player for a click. Put them both together, and it's kind of just somehow happened. And in my eyes, it's not. Liverpool can't afford a Werner. Why can they afford Koulibaly is beyond me. But I know your thoughts on that as well. Oh, there we go. Johnny Walker, Koulibaly's 29. FSG won't approve yet. Spot on for the money, his age, what it costs. I'm no doubting he's a quality player. I just can't see it happening. Kieran B said, we ain't getting Koulibaly. Can't see it. Doesn't make sense. Yep, I agree with that. It's bullshit. Megastain, hello, mate. Megastain 1981, sorry. Says, where's this money coming from? These sudden big money transfers, especially Koulibaly, considering the Werner situation. Rumours. Bullshit. Jay Pearson, Koulibaly bullshit. Nice. Like it, mate. Rob D says, Michael Edwards can work some magic and get Koulibaly for a good price. It could be worth it. For Lovren is part of the deal. Mate, like, I don't think I'd want to insult Napoli by saying here's Dejan Lovren. I think they'd rather have some money. In that sense. Moving on, Liverpool have a squad issue exposed to Everton, but Jurgen Klopp may already have the answer. Injuries to James Milner and a draw against Everton brings up one of Jurgen Klopp's most significant squad issues. As we spoke about before, you know, Milner's injured, Robertson's taken a knock, Where is that cover coming in the future? Obviously, he mentioned his hamstring, but he also goes on to mention Yasser Lerucci. This is something, again, we spoke about in the final word. I'd love to know your thoughts of how you kind of get around the situation. Is there someone out there that you think Liverpool could go out and buy? Would you keep Milner for another season, depending on what happens with his contract? And again, Leeds getting promoted. And as I said before, I think the chances of Robertson and Milner both being injured for a substantial amount of time is very slim. Were you happy with Joe Gomez just filling in for a little bit and getting some game time under his belt? We'll have to wait and see. On the left back, LFC Mav says, is this Saka lad at Arsenal fullback, or is he just making his way into the team? If he's actually a left back, we should be in that conversation with him. Yeah, I think we should be as well. I think he's a left back. I think he's a hot prospect, someone who's largely well respected and highly touted across football. I think Paul put a tweet out last night saying that he'd have him. And given the fact that Arsenal's current situation, and where Liverpool are, you know, not just in the league, just in terms of life, you know, do you want to play with David Luiz next year, which I don't think anybody wants, or do you want to play with Virgil van Dijk and Joel Matip and Joe Gomez and actually win things? So, you know, it might be a good time for Liverpool to go in and put a cheeky offer and kind of rock the boat. Kieran B says Nathan Ake could cover both centre-back and left-back, more defensive left-back. Yeah, I'd agree with that, especially if Bournemouth get relegated as well. I think there's a couple of players that you can think, you know, as much as I've just slagged off Dejan Lovren, he's your fourth-choice centre-half, but, you know, if you can improve on that, then why wouldn't you go and do it? Daryl Wilkins says Gomez as left-back cover. Yeah, but then what you take away from centre-half in that position, I think you're right. If he's just going to fit in for one game, two games, then sound, but for a long-term plan, I don't really see that happening. Staying on centre-halves, Jamie Carragher says Lovren is too emotional for anybody who watched it on Sky Sports yesterday. I think Jamie Carragher kind of got cut short of putting himself into trouble. Lovren went in for a tackle and he just basically muttered Jesus and sighed after, which I think is how we were all feeling at the time. But he said he's too emotional. That's always been his problem. He always feels he has to win a fight. He has to win a challenge. I used to play in that position as a centre-back, and at times you have to accept someone maybe stronger and quicker. You have to get yourself in positions and try and hold them up. I've said this before, too often putting the ball down the right Virgil's throat. But as soon as Lovren comes on, they've been hitting him that channel, and that is the channel to hit. So it's not as much as it's a worry for us as Liverpool fans. I think it's also a good thing for opposition fans, as Jamie Carragher rightly points out there. If you're starting Dejan Lovren, again, we had this debate on the build-up to the Crystal Palace, which will be out later. If you're Will Saha, if you're Christian Benteke, if you're Jordan Ayew, you're seeing Dejan Lovren starting on the opposition side. And again, he's a four-choice centre-half, so I'm not going to slag him off completely. But you can't deny that the opposition's forwards' eyes will light up when they see his name on the team sheet, because you can just go, there's a weak spot, there's something that we can get at. And I think it's something that can be improved, but it's a situation which you just have to deal with for now. But do let me know your thoughts on that. Oh, you already have done. There you go. Tom's already sent them in. Alan Gibson, please don't play Lovren ever again. He makes the same mistake again and again. I think that's a really good point, actually. I think there's room for forgiveness with Dejan Lovren, but he seems to be like Simomingele or Saka, one of those players that we've had 3, 4, 5 seasons ago that came with baggage. I think he's the only one that's really left in that side. Johnny Walker says Lovren slipped twice around with Charleston, made me nervous as hell. Fearflo says Lovren gave me David Luiz vibes. Yeah, I spent the whole weekend slagging off David Luiz and then Lovren came on. Stephen Somerville, Lovren's a donkey, need to offload him in the summer and get a better fourth choice or someone else we can rile on. Or whoever. The actual youngster, whoever, Kiana, whoever. Greenway Dale says Lovren scares me half to death every time he plays. Tom, all these comments are too harsh. I think he's decent cover, in my opinion, just not first choice. Maybe that isn't good enough. Yeah, I don't know, that's our Tom who's saying that. I think you have to look at it. The level and standard of Liverpool is so high. You know, you never get it if someone's going to replace who's going to be the standard of a Matip Gomez or Dejan Lovren. Or Virgil van Dijk, sorry, is going to be as good as them. It's very hard to do that. And again, you know, if you're not playing Lovren, you're playing the kid. As someone says in the comments, they prefer a child. A youth player was playing there. Megasing 1981 says, Lovren was Lovren yesterday. We're used to it. And unfortunately, we got away with it last night. We're going forward next season. I'm sure we'll have to address that. We'll be okay for the 8 games that we've got. Yeah, and it also might be skewed as well in the fact that, you know, as much as Liverpool can't do any transfer business, maybe no one could take Dejan Lovren off our hands. Maybe Liverpool aren't in a position to go and get another centre-half. Maybe you have to ride him out for another season. Might not like that, but you know. Final news story of the day, which this was just broke yesterday, just before the game. Not content with Liverpool having all the all the eyes on them. Davor Ngog retired from football yesterday, and I can't get on this website because it's just been an absolute twat. 31 years old, French striker Davor Ngog has decided to retire just 4 months after joining Lithuanian club. I had no idea he was still playing, to be honest, but you know, he will be fondly remembered for that game that he's the goal that he scored against Manchester United. That's pretty much it, I think, from him. But you know, good luck to him, whatever his future career is. He's still very young. He's still got a lot of life left in him. I'm sure he can go on and do great things. Maybe be a pundit. You never know. Maybe he can be an ambassador at Liverpool Football Club. You never know. Stranger things have happened. Maybe we can get him at centre-back. Maybe we can start get him out of retirement. Say, listen, be our fourth choice centre-half. But I doubt it. Anyway, we're going to move on. We'll be back on Friday with Redmen News. So we're going to change things up slightly. So we're going to do news on a Monday and a Friday. We want a more in-depth news, a more rounded news. News with more than one person just reading stories to you and talking to themselves and going a bit insane. Join us on Wednesday evenings. Reds News Roundup, more in depth, more chat with three people, not just one. I'm going to leave you there for now. I'm going to record the Around the League podcast this afternoon and say that is back because football is back. I'm joined by Ben Kelly and Louis Beneventi, who is a Chelsea fan. So we're obviously going to talk about Timo Werner, the return of football, David Luiz, Sheffield United, goal line decisions, VAR, all the chats that we've not had for 3 months. We're going to do that, which will be out later tonight. Don't forget to go and check out Beer 52. That's www.beer52.com/redmen. You get 8 beers, a snack, a magazine for £5.95 postage and packaging. Go and support independent companies. Go and get some beer, watch the football and enjoy life. I'll see you soon. Ta-ra.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.